Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode 185. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean. We are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, Nate and Sean?
All good?
Ready to hang out tonight.
Yeah.
A very thoughtful answer.
That's good. Yes. That's good, because you know what?
Adjusting some things.
We're gonna hang out regardless. Thoughts. Whether you want to or not.
Yep.
So we're here running the board and the sound. So
I'm locked in.
You're locked in.
We're here. We're creepy. Get used to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How creepy are you?
I don't know.
I'm so creepy.
I'm creepy enough.
I'm creepy deepy.
I've got an anatomical hand over here.
Where did you get that at?
At that Greenwood Happy Hunts.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. That's my bread and butter right there, baby. That's got all that. I should just take this to work. I don't know.
The phalanges and the...
It does have the phalanges. Good job. Phalanges.
Yeah. And the what's the other one? Phalanges and they're like a melanges? No.
There's melanges. There's cholanges. There's
phalanges.
Metacarpals.
Metacarpals.
Metatarsals.
And metatarpals.
Metatarsals, yeah. That's your feet, but yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
I know you do.
We are here at the Mako Studio.
Here we are.
Once again, yes.
And who wants to talk about the, I guess we all
three. All of us.
But I'm going to mention that we survived. Not just survived. We dominated. No. we had our live show, our second live show. Mm-hmm. Went well, didn't it?
It was awesome.
Greenwood Happy Haunts.
Yes.
Awesome. It was so fun.
I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to give them the satisfaction.
Oh, was that the first and last time you're ever going to step foot into Greenwood
Happy
Haunts?
I thought
Happy
that was
Haunts,
laid
Nate?
To rest, dude.
Nah.
No?
But it is a awesome, awesome store.
Mm-hmm. My mom's still talking about it.
Yeah.
She's like, if I had a bunch of money. I'm like, yes, I know.
A lot of cool stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, we had good people
actually
come
had
to
a,
see us, right?
I didn't leave without buying some stuff.
Yeah.
What did you get? You got a Jason mug?
I have the Jason 10 little poster thingy with all the different versions of Jason and all the movies.
Yeah, I like that.
And then I bought a whiskey glass with half of it's Michael Myers, half of it's Jason.
Yeah.
So there's no more arguing who's better.
That's
They're
right.
equal.
Even though if you look at it, they've got Michael first on the left.
Separate but equal.
If you go left to right.
Yeah, but right hand. Most people are right hand dominant, and he's on the right. Jason is, so.
But you technically, you would look at a left.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Now I got to get one. Because they didn't. Didn't they have two?
Yeah, there's another one there.
All right, I'll get the other one then. Yes, it was, Nate. It was an awesome store, and I've been in there several times, and it never gets old being in there. So, Sean, you said we had some awesome people show up.
We did.
Listen to us knuckleheads. Mm-hmm. And how great was Austin?
Oh, he was awesome.
Amazing.
Man. He paid me to say he was awesome, so he was awesome.
I call him Awesome Austin.
Awesome, awesome.
No, he did. He did a fantastic job. He had a lot of footage of his investigations, a lot of good audio and video. So
Shame on you if you missed it.
Shame on, oh, wow.
Shame.
You're throwing the shame on people.
So
there were a few people that would have been there, but they had some kind of weird situations.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah.
So Lydia was there with Austin, right?
Yeah.
They come in pairs.
She is from Randolph County Asylum.
She is, and she's awesome, and we love her. And she said I think she said it was Dan or Rich, one, maybe both of them. They don't call Austin. They never call him by his name. They always use another Texas city name. They'll say, how's San Antonio doing? Dallas Street, y'all
Houston.
Right? Houston, okay. Yeah, exactly. Anything but
Galveston.
Austin.
Hey, Lubbock, how's it going?
Lubbock, yeah, right, yeah.
Tyler. Well, Tyler, Texas. I mean, that would work, right?
Cool.
I like Lubbock. I'm going to start calling him Lubbock.
Lubbock.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's Lubbock Lawrence.
We started this, didn't we? Mm-hmm. He's going to love us for that.
It was a blast. It was fun. We thank the people that did show up. And
right.
We understand
Family,
the
friends,
people that did.
Loved ones.
Things happen.
Coworkers.
And guess what?
What?
You guys know, but I'm going to tell the creepies. Next year, we're going to have our live show back at Greenwood Happy Haunts. And it'll be in September because it's a good time because it is creeping to the Halloween season, and it is before fall break. So,
are they going to allow me back in there?
I got to talk to them. Okay. That's something we're not quite sure, Nate. To be honest with you, what was cool though is we got a picture of you walking in.
Yes,
the first time.
Happy. You looked very happy
before we walked in, Sean. Mm-hmm. Since you were about an hour late, see, no, just kidding. He goes, you want to check and make sure it's okay for me to come in? I go, yeah, let me do that. I go,
you were getting the door for him, weren't you?
Yeah. So I go, Corey. I said, we're here. She goes, oh my gosh. And I said, she goes, oh, Nate's even outside. I said, can I let him in? She goes, yeah, go ahead. I said, all right. So
I know you're not going to get this reference because it's Lord of the Rings, but Gandalf, when Frodo comes over to his cart, you know, and he comes for the birthday party or whatever, and he says, Gandalf, you're here. And he's like, you're late. And then Gandalf is dead serious. He says, I arrive when I mean to or whatever. Yeah. Right? He's like, I arrive precisely when I mean to. So that's me.
You're right.
Yeah,
we
got everything.
I know.
We got everything all set up, and then Sean walks in. Uh-huh. What can I help you guys
with?
What
can I help with?
Yeah, don't worry about it. We got the 40 chairs.
We got it.
42 chairs.
No, that's all right. We knew you had something going on. No, but it was. Wasn't it a fun night, though?
I was taking a big nap.
And we even took a little bit of time afterwards and chatted with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
People still walked around, shopped. And my daughter's boyfriend's parents, JP and Emily Bean.
They were awesome.
They came, and JP bought a T-shirt for his lovely bride. So just a wonderful night. It's fun. So we'll do it again next year.
Yep. It's a good time.
So we will work out the details as it comes, but it's already basically less than a year now. So we'll start planning. And thank you to Scott and Corey for letting us hang out and have the show there. And thank you for letting us to do it again next year. So
you got to
we must have done something.
You both got to meet Tony A.
Oh, yeah, Tony A, Tanya, sweetheart.
She's funny. She came up afterwards. She gave us a hug, or she gave me a hug off stage, and she said, I can't believe you guys just did that. that was cool.
It was magical, wasn't it?
It was magic. It was, which is...
Even Tanya, when I was talking, Peterson being the Yankees fan he is, bless his heart, and me being a Red Sox fan, Tanya goes, I feel like if you're a Yankees fan, you're a poser. Well, I was like, oh, I like this gal.
That's funny. Yeah, that's true.
Now Pete was there. He's a great guy. Of course.
Is that what they said when you're in the South? If you say, "Oh, God bless him," it means I don't want to say something bad about him.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah,
you say, "Oh, bless his heart, bless your heart."
Yeah, which means you're wrecking, son of a gun.
Exactly.
Very politely telling him off.
That's correct.
Bless his heart. So anyway, that was fun. Anything else before we get to our sponsor?
I don't
think
so.
Anything else you want to mention?
No, not that I can think of.
Okay. All right. Glad everybody's having a good week here in the studio, and we hope whenever they listen, these are having a good week. So we're a good day. Sean, do we have a sponsor?
We most certainly do. Are you tired of an itchy, unruly beard? Want a beard that looks great, feels amazing, and smells masculine and sexy? Meet your new best friend, Cultured Creature Beard Balm. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is a game changer. Made with all natural ingredients like mango butter, shea butter, argan, avocado, jojoba, grape seed, and meadowform seed oil. It nourishes your beard and the skin beneath. Say goodbye to dryness and itchiness, and hello to soft, well-groomed, and great-smelling beard. Not only does it tame your mane, but it also leaves a subtle, masculine scent with options like Cuban tobacco, sandalwood and bourbon, cedar and leather, and more. Feel confident all day, whether at the office or on a date or at the gym. It's easy to use. Just rub a small amount between your palm and work it into your beard. Simple and effective, and no mess. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is handmade, organic, and natural. Made by a father-daughter duo with over 20 years of beard care experience. It's packed with vitamins and nutrients and zero additives or preservatives. Ready to transform your beard? Visit refineyourwildside.com and use promo code MAACO10, that's MAACO10, for an extra 10% off your first order. Plus, all Cultured Creature Beard Balm is already 20% off, so that's 30% off your first order. Cultured Creature Beard Balm, where nature meets nurture for the ultimate beard care experience. Don't tame your wild side, refine it with Cultured Creature Beard Balm.
Thank you to Cultured Creature Beard Balm.
Ah, you got it.
I still didn't love it. Didn't even have to look at it.
It's a great product. I use it every week.
Does it? So how does it work? Like, do you just put it in daily? Once a week, or you don't do it daily, or can you, or is it? Do they not recommend that?
When I want, I mean, really serious. When I want to look dapper and fresh,
take a
shower and then.
Right.
Put the beard balm in my beard.
Are you saying
when it's wet?
Pretty fly.
No. Or do you dry it?
I dry it.
Okay.
Pretty fly for a white guy. Is that what you're trying to say?
Because I didn't know if like putting it in there like kind of shapes your beard. And
it does. It tames it.
Tames it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he says tame your wild side.
Yep.
with cultured creature beard balm.
That's right.
The glorious
that's
beard.
Right.
But yeah, they have, I can't remember how many scents, but
52.
I would say at least six. Yeah. Six different.
Well, what's funny is Micah has no sense. But I love you, Micah. I'm feeling
you are
frolicky tonight.
A little punchy.
a little frolicky. My mom says
spunky.
My mom says Nate does have a good beard.
So, I was using it that night.
So Carol Hedges approves of your beard. Yeah. So very cool. Yeah. Thank you, Micah. Thank you, Cultured Creature Beard Balm. Oh, look at here.
No.
It is that time of the show. It is Todd's dad joke of the show. And did you guys know that if lightning was to hit an orchestra, the person that would likely be hit first would be the conductor? Huh?
Yeah. Copper?
You almost got the laugh track.
I got it.
You got it.
I got it. I was waiting for you guys to kind of.
Did you? I was choking over here in laughter.
The conductor. See? Mm-hmm. See, Nate, the conductor and lightning, it is kind of. Yeah. That's the Todd's dad joke of the show. And you're welcome.
Nate is not abused over there.
You are welcome, you too. And creepies, as always, you're welcome.
Hmm.
It's an implied thank you. But his glorious beard did not appreciate that.
Oh, it did.
Do you think so?
It's just too shapely.
Stood up on it.
Can't move.
Too shapely.
Shapely.
Oh, shapely.
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 Thank you for allowing me to tell that awesome joke. And let's move on to the first announcements. Sean, what do you have, sir?
I got him over here. We come together every Wednesday night for the paranormal, the guy time, the creepy. But the most important thing we do, and we're going to do it every episode until death do us part, right, is to build a mental health community. And so we want you guys to get help when you need it out there, or get help for other people that need it. You can call or text 988 or text home to 741-741 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you or someone you know may be experiencing.
Awesome. And make sure you're taking care of yourself first, because you're no good to anybody else if you don't have your mental health and emotional health intact, right?
Yes, correct.
That is something that people overlook. They think they have to take care of themselves for other people and all that. Yes, that's true, but you got to make sure you do it for yourself first. Mm-hmm. Then it spills out into your relationships and your physical health and all that. So you got to make sure you take care of yourself. So 741-741, right? 988?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you, Sean, for that.
You're most welcome.
Special announcements. I only have one. We kind of mentioned it already. The next Mako live show, which, well, man, 2025, it doesn't sound right, but it is, I guess, will be once again at Greenwood Happy Haunts next September. So there we go. It's the only one I got.
Good announcement.
We're so close to October, it's not even funny, of this year.
I thought it was funny. That's kind of funny.
It's a little funny.
No, you're right. It's not funny. Oh.
I guess it is funny.
Yeah, that's all we got. Special announcements. 2025 live show. We'll come up with a name, get the date and all that, so be on the lookout for that, creepies. Other than that, let's get right to it.
Bada bing, bada boom. Okay.
What are we going to talk about?
This is going to be Nate's pick, and it is the Crenshaw House in Equality, Illinois. And please check out our show notes for the links for this topic.
Nice.
I don't like how you associated me with this episode.
Why? You don't want to be associated with Crenshaw?
Associated.
Yeah, I can't say that very easily. Butcher.
This should be good.
Yeah.
I like haunted places.
Did you like
you
that?
Guys?
Oh, I love haunted places.
Not really.
You're not a big fan?
Not a big
fan.
Don't like creepy? Don't like paranormal? You're not middle-aged?
No.
Mm-mm. None of that stuff?
Yep.
That's weird.
Oh, for seven. How about a little foundation on it?
Absolutely. I have it.
Please.
It is the Crenshaw House, also known as the Crenshaw Mansion or Hickory Hill. Most commonly, it's the Old Slave House. It's a historic former residence and alleged haunted house. Alleged. Well, I don't know. Why do they have to put alleged? Located in Equality Township, Gallatin County, Illinois. The house was constructed in the 1830s. It was the main residence of John Crenshaw, his wife, and their five children.
Hmm. So what you're saying is it's old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
It is.
Yeah, it's
at least
cool
some
house.
Of the pictures are.
There's some really cool. Look at this one.
It's a, yeah. It's a little rundown when you look at it, but it's not
put
as
the filter on there.
It's not rundown as it could have been. Like they said that it's been kept up enough because otherwise it should have been knocked down or
we've
fallen over
about
by
a few
now.
That like ooh maybe not safe to walk through.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
correct.
That is correct, Nate.
It's close to a river. Hmm. Or creek, I guess.
A creek.
And there's like a road that just goes up to it, like
you
a trail.
Don't say.
I do say, and I just said. but yeah, it is out in the boondocks for sure. But it's Southern Illinois.
Southern Illinois. Never been to Southern Illinois. The old slave house outside of Equality, Illinois, is a decaying symbol of a sordid time in Illinois history. Its own history has been clouded over the years by folklore and some say the tales of a huckster. But here are the facts. The Great Salt Springs at the foot of Hickory Hill employed slave labor brought in from states where slavery was still legal. This took place only because the state of Illinois created an exemption which was against the state constitution, the laws of Illinois, and the laws of the United States. They did it for money, no other reason. I'm surprised.
Hmm.
That's not folklore. That's history, and that's appalling, and a story that should be told.
Yeah, it's what they call a loophole, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, basically what Crenshaw did was...
what was his name? John Hart Crenshaw? Yeah. John Hart. Yep.
Crenshaw is recognized as an individual who kidnapped free slaves and sold them in the slave states. The property is part of the Reverse Underground Railroad.
Uh-huh.
As most know, the Underground Railroad was set up to help slaved individuals get into freedom in the non-slave states. This was the opposite. They would bring them in and sell them back into slavery.
Not good.
No.
Not good.
This home is reportedly haunted by a slave named Big Jim.
Big Jim.
There are also reports of other paranormal activity occurring here. Hmm. At one point, the property was open to tours, but that is no longer the case.
Hmm.
I believe Sean found out that the state of Illinois owns it.
Yep.
They stopped don't tours.
Yeah, there's no That's trespassing signs, and then they do let...
that is crap.
Archaeologists have been like... Because there's a lot of different myths or stories that they're not sure how true they were or are, and they're trying to either debunk them or trying to find out a little bit more.
Well, I'm sure it has a very significant history in our nation to it too. So I'm sure they don't want things destroyed or defaced or trying to protect.
Yeah, but so are
history.
The other 8 billion places
true.
We talked about.
True.
And they've had slave,
mm-hmm.
you know. But you're right. I get that. A little more on John Hart. Crenshaw said he made a fortune from the Salt Springs.
Mm-hmm.
I bet he did. According to the official history recognized by the state of Illinois, census records show both slaves and indentured free blacks were kept at his home, sometimes called the Old Slave House, which you mentioned, Sean. Also, according to the state, there's strong evidence that Crenshaw helped seize free or fugitive African Americans so that they might be sold into slavery. The census showed that he owned slaves at least until 1830, which was a blatant violation of federal law, Illinois law, and even the laws of his church, of which family history says he was known as a faithful and dedicated member. He did this in full view, and rather than paying a cost for it, the state of Illinois made him even richer by granting him an exclusive lease to the Salt Springs.
You want to see something creepy?
Wow.
The picture of John and his wife. It didn't get much creepier than that.
Oh, wow.
He carried a crutch because he had a maimed. Yeah, the eyes on him, right?
Whoa.
Super creepy.
Okay, now I'm going to take my glasses back off.
Right? Hmm.
What is wrong with that?
Right? I think it's just the way that they developed the picture, but it makes him look like.
Yeah, it's very flat faced.
Weird. But his crutch. He had a maimed leg. I'm not quite sure where he got that from, but. They say that Abraham Lincoln did visit here in September 1840. Abraham Lincoln, which he was a state representative at the time, was in Gallatin County, however you say that.
Yeah, I think it was Gallatin.
Is Gallatin.
I'm gonna.
I think you're correct too. I butcher stuff too.
Because usually Galatians with one L.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right in the Bible. Right. Was at Gallatin County for over a week, attending debates in Shawneetown and Equality. The Crenshaws hosted a ball in the honor of the debates. The ball was held on the second floor. The second floor of the house was designed to be easily converted into a ballroom because the hall and two of the rooms were made from movable partitions, particularly for such events. Mr. Lincoln, along with other male guests, spent the night in the southeast bedroom of the Crenshaw house. The furniture in the room consisted of one bed and two chairs. Mr. Lincoln either slept on the bed, which was shorter than he was, or he could have spread out over the two chairs or possibly slept on the floor.
Hmm. Oh. Interesting.
So they had an upstairs. There's a third floor, and supposedly they were trying to get a railroad constructed kind of behind around the creek or behind the house or whatever, and that never happened. But the long-term plan, or at least the Crenshaws were planning on, was that there was going to be, you know, a stop for the railroad, the actual railroad, not the underground railroad. And they were going to have the upstairs bedroom as places for people, like travelers, to stop and stay and you know, whatever. But they said, so they had the different archaeologists that as they were digging and they were showing stuff, they also had guys, like IT guys, that were trying to recreate what the house looked like back in the day. And they had like plaster walls and things were very ornate. So when you look at it now, it's kind of like it's been through a lot, obviously, a lot of weathering and time and all that stuff. But when they recreate it and show it, you know, through computer regenerations or whatever, it's cool. It's really neat. It would have been a beautiful house. I mean, absolutely beautiful. And it's the only plantation in Illinois.
Hmm. Interesting.
Okay.
So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. That'd be the only one. Hmm. Okay, I did not know that. Yeah, it's yeah, man. That is, at that time, state of Illinois, they looked, or I should say, they looked away to gain revenue from slavery.
Yep,
back in the day, terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
I am on.
What you got, Nate?
IllinoisHauntedHouse.com or houses.com, and it's the page for this house, and there are three shared experiences or comments. So I can read the first one here as we talk.
Okay.
The most recent one was posted 6/5 of 24. I toured this place many years ago with my two daughters. It is a marvelous piece of history. The two bottom stories were magnificent. This third floor was a prison that Crenshaw kept as a slave prison with a whipping post and manacles to keep his slaves in check. It was a window into the past that does not make it into many history books. It opened a new view of history that doesn't seem to get into history books nowadays. I am glad I was able to see both sides of history that was represented. I was a history major in college. So I'm sure they learned about this place in college or whatnot and then actually saw.
Check it out in person.
Firsthand experience of the nasties that happened there.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. this little paragraph I have, it says, you'll find that this, who's writing this story, says, looking into the eyes of evil, says, you'll find I don't tell a lot of ghost stories involving myself. The exceptions are those involving my own house. You catch a lot of, I'll say crap, when you start talking about ghosts, and I've not talked about this one to many people, but the Crenshaw house ain't getting any younger. It was the early 80s, and I'd read more haunted houses and found, I had read more, this is the actual name of the book, more haunted houses and found the old slave house in there. Said the stories had been around for years. A nationally renowned professional ghost hunter visited in the 1920s, only to see the ghosts of former slaves and fled in terror. Despite having tackled ghosts before, he only made it to a house down the road before dying of a heart attack.
Wow.
Wow, yeah. That's
that's intense.
In the 1920s, too.
Right, yeah.
100
yeah.
years ago. Crazy, yeah.
I thought it was interesting that the archaeologists, they were finding pieces and fragments and throughout different time periods. So some of them, they said, were from the Crenshaw period, but others were from other, homeowners. And so that's what they were dating everything. They were putting everything in bags and what they could put together, like serving plates and cups and glasses and whatever. They were able to reconstruct some of it, which was kind of cool. But one of the myths or the fables or whatever lore, they said that they had horses that would come into the basement, like directly in. And they said they could never prove whether that was true or not because they didn't see any indication that that happened. But that was one of the stories of the house. And they said when they went and dug up like a lot of these artifacts, they weren't crushed. And they said if horses came in there, a lot of that stuff, they would have seen, where horse hooves would have like either destroyed a lot of those things or, there would have been indications that happened.
Sure.
So they don't believe that was part of it. But then the other thing they were bringing up, which I thought was really interesting, was that the kitchen that they used wouldn't have been what they traditionally used back then. The kitchen normally would have been a separate kitchen. I think they called it a guest kitchen or second kitchen or something or other. But it was the kitchen that the slaves would have used to make all the meals in, or the servants, would have been away from the house or at least separate from the house because they said that the problem is kitchens were notorious for fires.
Kitchen fire. Yeah.
Right. So that they said they have not been able to find such a kitchen, but they think that it was somewhere in the yard. So at that time, at least the video I was watching is fairly recent.
Well, yeah, what's the deal with the fire?
That's how Mount Vernon's set up.
Well, they had like a separate, do you remember what they called that kitchen? I think it was like a secondary kitchen.
I can't remember exactly what they called it, but Mount Vernon actually has like two of them. They have like a smaller one. Well, they're probably the same size, but the one was more like a preparation and bread bakery type thing. The other one was more of like a oven, barbecue, cooking meat, and that kind of stuff. And they kept them separated because they found that, obviously you build a home and you build the kitchen in the home. It catches fire because of grease fire or whatever.
Oh, I was like,
the whole house catches fire because you don't have a fire department to come put it out fast.
Especially out in the boondocks like that.
Yeah, so you lose everything. So they learned to build the kitchen as its own structure. That way if it caught fire...
It was a lot easier to build a small area than the whole house.
You just let it burn down, then you built a new kitchen.
I got you.
The rest of the house was fine.
Okay. I thought, why are they having fires?
So much wood and lacquer.
Yeah, that's true. With how they
everything
made it
was
back
flammable,
then.
Yeah.
True. So, I mean, it's smart.
Yeah, they didn't have didn't use stainless steel. And
out kitchen.
Yeah, an out kitchen.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
That's right.
Sounds good.
I think that's correct. I think that it was something like that.
The outhouse and the out kitchen.
That's right.
You got the out living room? No. There's also the story of two Vietnam veterans who tried to spend the night on the third floor, but also fled in terror. According to the writer, Julie Cart, she says, suddenly a terrible moan reverberated and shook the attic's walls. A cacophony of human voices speaking unintelligible words assaulted their ears while ghostly figures swirled and danced around them. Their only source of light, the kerosene lamp, then blew out. How about that? Blood-curdling screams rang out all around them, and they were filled with anxiety and panic. I don't know why. Which inspired them to fly down the steep stairs and make a quick exit. The trouble with that one, though, is Vietnam vets fleeing in terror in the middle of the night is a staple of urban legends across the country in the 70s and beyond. Mm. So it says in the next paragraph, I won't read it, but it's just saying that not sure if that quite happened the way it did. Yeah. But
sounds good, though.
But then again, I don't care if you're a Vietnam veteran. I mean, you're seeing something supernatural or paranormal. That's a little bit different.
And you have a lantern lit, and all of a sudden it goes,
yeah,
boo.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, but I think, yeah, I mean, that's a different.
All the screaming and everything was their own voices.
Well, I mean, why did we talk about for our live show? You know, military mm-hmm. ghost stories. Mm-hmm. These guys and women are tough as can be, but
yeah,
they get creeped out.
Yep, oh, absolutely.
So I'm yep. sorry, but yeah. Thought that was kind of a fun
you
story.
You said cacophony, and I love that word.
I do, too.
We've never used cacophony. We got to use that more often.
Actually, it was used a few episodes ago.
Was it really?
I listened to
it,
and I nailed it. I used the word cacophony.
You did?
Yeah. I so happened to read the story that had cacophony.
I was going to say, you keep using cacophony. I like that.
I don't know what it means.
like a plethora?
Yeah, a lot.
Like a lot, yeah.
Man, you guys are using some big words.
Cacophony, yeah.
No, I know what a plethora
is. It's like a cough.
It's a
cacophony.
I just keep thinking of a cup of Joe coffee.
Oh. Like, see. Coffee phony. Coffee in coffee phony. Cacophony. So there you go. Two Vietnam bits.
Well, I got the second entry on this Illinois Haunted Houses mm-hmm. that someone posted. This was in November 19th of 2023. Yes. This is now state property that is being renovated to reopen for tours in 10 years or less. So if they are correct, that would be nice.
Yeah.
There are 3 trespassing signs on the way to the house. Mm. The house is ran down pretty bad, hence why they are renovating. I couldn't fix myself to walk up to the house or the structures on the side or in the back. I'm a black woman, so maybe it's because I'm black. I couldn't pull myself to do it. Only marvel at the beauty of the home. Knowing the history really didn't help. Knowing that many slaves, though this was a safe place, or many slaves thought mm-hmm. this was yeah. a safe mm-hmm. place, a stop on the way to freedom, or a starting point to building one's life post-slavery and not knowing what is to come. The grounds of the house, which is all I went to for the time's sake, to prevent being caught and arrested by state police, felt so eerie. Maybe it was the police paranoia, but I felt like I was being watched. There's barbed wire near the creek before the house, and it unsettled my spirit. Mm-hmm. I had a feeling the slaves worked those fields too, because there are too many acres to maintain. If you drive up to the house, be careful of the huge dip. It has the possibility of popping your tires, and good mm-hmm. luck not getting caught if that happens. Because by that time, you are already trespassing. Mm. Drive slow or walk. Be careful at night. I've never been at night, but I can only imagine what you may see and feel, or how police presence would increase.
Oh.
So, yeah, she was definitely feeling something.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's no reason to call Sean a name.
Yeah.
You call him a big dip.
I heard that. Watch out for the big dip.
Huge dip.
He resembles that remark.
The big dipper.
He's a huge dip.
I did see a video of a guy. It was during the day, of course. But he had a drone, and that's how he was looking at the area and then the house. And that was a cool way to see it. And illegal, I don't know. But mm-hmm. he still was able to do it without getting caught, apparently. But I like that. It was interesting because they said that.
I think I saw that same video.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Once they
get the whole time I thought it was Auburn.
That's all right. Once they get it renovated, they do want to turn it into a tourist attraction, like you said. I don't know if they're going to allow paranormal mm-hmm. investigations. I hope so. But they want it to be part of history, even though it's not a great part of history, but it's still history, and they want it to be.
That is what it is. Yeah.
It is what it is. Exactly. That's what history is, right? It's interesting, though. It says the home's third floor attic contains 12 rooms, long believed to be where Crenshaw operated a secret slave jail, like you were talking about, Nate, for kidnapped free black and captured runaway slaves. A grand jury indicted Crenshaw for kidnapping once in the 1820s, the outcome unknown, and again in 1842 when a trial jury acquitted him. So he never actually did any jail time for any of this stuff. But he has a obviously a mark, a dark mark, black mark, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's not to be funny or punny.
No.
For historical reasons. But they said that in this area where a lot of the slaves would have been kept or captured or whatever, or indentured servants, whatever you want to call them at that time, that there's like still to this day, there like screams and cries or crying and screaming for their freedom. And that's so creepy.
Well, I think it's terrible that he set it up where they thought they were safe
mm-hmm.
for the, you know, the reasons for the Underground Railroad, only to find out that it was all a setup and they're still going to be put in slavery. Oh man, what a gut punch. Terrible.
This is interesting. It says in 1913, the house was purchased by the Sisk family, who began charging for public tours, offering a quote unquote thrilling experience. In 1996, George Sisk Jr. Retired and closed the museum. In December of 2000, the Sisk family sold the house to the state of Illinois. The state paid $500,000 for the house in 10 acres. It's currently closed, like you said, to the public as state determines its ultimate fate. So, which of course, like I said, it sounds like they've got some pretty good stuff in the works for that. It says, though, with renovations, repairs, new road, parking lot, and a separate structure with a bathroom, all estimated costs will be, you guys want to guess how much it's going to be?
$1 million.
Yeah.
That and then some.
two plus.
$7 million.
$7 million.
Wow.
Jeez, O'Pete.
$7 million.
Drop in the bucket.
Those Illinois roads, man.
Drop in the bucket for the Mako boys. I mean, we got all kinds of zeros.
Heck yeah.
Wow.
It's the seven that we have a hard time
That's
coming up
the
with.
Problem, Nate. We always have the zeros. See, it's the number before the 7 million, really.
Wow. Mm, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is. Crazy.
So the slaves, wow. the work that they did from sunup to sundown was boiling down on the river that they had back there, boiled down salt brine water from the river into usable salt for sale. Salt was a huge commodity back then.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, that's, man, 7 million. That's just that amount.
It's a lot.
Holy cow. No kidding. Yeah, when Nate said 1 million, I'm like, oh, that might be too much. Nope. Not even close.
Well, figuring parking lot and toilets. I mean,
yeah.
How fancy are these toilets?
Pretty fancy.
Darn fancy.
Pretty fancy. They're not crappy either. I mean, they will be crappy.
They could be.
Real quick, here's a few other things that they that goes on in this place. This crazy Crenshaw place. Others have reported hearing voices, whispering, loud bangs, the sounds of rattling chains that I can imagine, crying and whimpering, and the occasional scream. There's said to be a mournful wailing on the third floor, though most people attribute that to the wind on top of the hill.
Hmm.
I say no. I say they're wrong. But anyway.
Wow.
Lots of craziness in this place, huh?
Well, I got this third what review.
Oh, yeah. I like
post
the reviews.
Or whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
Little disclaimer on this one. It has a little graphicness to it.
Okay.
This was in 9/28 of 2020. I wanted to tell my story from back in time. I visited this haunted house and made some horrifying discoveries. Back in the mid-90s, my girlfriend and I were taking a drive to Owensboro, Kentucky, when we both noticed the signs for this home. At the time, you could still tour the homes inside and grounds, although it is no longer open. Upon walking into this really old home, a guy tossed a metal object my way, and when I examined the object, he went on to say, "That's a penis clamp."
Oh!
Any male slave trying to have unauthorized sex would be subjected to its cruelty.
Sheesh.
I looked back at it incredulously, and place the item onto the display counter. This, too, held real-life horrors. Such things as whips, chains, foot cuffs, and the like. We all followed our tour guide upstairs to see the attic, which held many tiny cells that the slaves were subjected to. I felt a feeling of dread wash over my body as I walked through this horrifying attic. You can see writing on the walls, such things as crosses, names, and other such things scraped into its brick walls. These tiny compartments were used to house children as well as adults. So small and so miserable, we walked down through a hidden staircase and outside to the main slave quarters. These log cabins were larger, however, according to our guide, up to 50 men and women would occupy these cabins. I can say without hesitation, there would not be enough room for 10, much less 50 persons. My girlfriend and I left this terrifying house soon afterwards, and we both had felt the oppression. I understand why the home is closed to the public, however. I think that anyone who wonders if slavery was man's greatest sin to date need only look at this house and see how horrible these poor folks lived, or lives really were. So yeah, that was very
wow,
very touching yeah, experience.
Really. Yeah, it was. That's very yeah. It's kind of
there's a lot of heaviness here.
That's what I was trying to think. Yeah. Thanks, Sean. I was like, what am I feeling?
It's dread and heaviness.
Fear.
Yeah. Keep going.
Misleading.
Man, crazy.
Well, one of the things, you know, he was indicted on a couple things, or
he was finally taken to court.
He was acquitted eventually, but it says, so one of these is interesting. It says the kidnapping of Maria Adams. Maria worked for John Crenshaw as an indentured servant. About 1842, he kidnapped her and her children, apparently on their way to church or out of church, sold them to a father and son team of slave traders named Lewis and John G. Kai Kendall, who then took Maria and her children to Texas.
Oh, where Kai Kendall.
Kai Kendall? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Kai Kendall?
Because I went to school with the Kai Kendall.
Oh, did you really? Yeah. I've never seen that name before. Who then took Maria and her children to Texas where they were sold as slaves. And like I said, it sounded like they went, you know, so many months down to the South, and they would come back for 12 months on and off or whatever, which sounds hellish too, you know. The Gallatin County Grand Jury indicted Crenshaw, but he was later acquitted because the state's attorney failed to support the fact that it was Crenshaw who did the kidnapping. And since the Kuykendalls were nowhere to be found to collaborate the story, Crenshaw was acquitted. So it's interesting that it sounds like he still kept like ownership or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, a contract on her. And it's just, it's really sick, honestly. But yeah, the fact that he kidnapped her and her children, you know, it says they're coming or going from church is what it said.
Mm-hmm. Not a good guy.
Well, it looks like
the worst I've heard in a long time.
Creepy eyes too.
He was probably able to do what he did because, he made a lot of money.
Yeah.
Became a remarkably wealthy man. Yeah. At one point, his taxes amounted to 1/7 of the revenue of the entire state.
Good grief.
He owned
just his?
Just his.
Whoa.
He owned thousands of acres of land in addition to 30,000 acres he leased from the state and more than 700 slaves.
Just think of all the good things he could have done with his wealth and his power, you know, his resources. Man, he just went the opposite way. What a wretch. Man, what a wretch.
Yeah.
Terrible human being.
Or as Charles Barkley said, kind man terrible. By any means.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Have you guys ever heard of Troy Taylor? Troy Taylor.
Football
is
player?
No. No, Troy Taylor, he's a author and he's a paranormal investigator and he does tours. I believe he's in the state of Illinois. Either that or Missouri. It's one of the two. Anyway, he's got a podcast with a co-host. Very popular in the paranormal world. And so he's, in this story I've got, he's went there to the Crenshaw house. Mm-hmm. So Troy Taylor, let's see here. I'm sorry. Okay, yeah. So it says Taylor said these initial stories led him to investigate the house, talking about the when he heard about the two Vietnam veterans, you know, where he ran into unexplained events of his own. On one occasion, I was sure, and he's quoted as saying, "I was sure I heard the sound of whispering, even though I was alone at the time," Taylor said. Taylor said he sensed cold areas in the attic on the warmest days of summer. Sensing changes in temperature is common when investigating the supernatural, according to Taylor, but it's an indication of an unnatural presence nearby. Although the word of a ghost hunter may not sway people's beliefs, others have encountered strange occurrences in the house. Gary DeNeil, editor of Spring House Magazine, said he experienced odd incidents in the house while researching it for historic articles. A couple of times during the hot summer months, he's quoted saying, "I would feel a sudden coldness." It was a definite change in temperature. DeNeil said while he was on the third floor, he had a strange feeling that he could not identify. He says, "I don't know if it was just a wild imagination, but for a while I had a feeling that I cannot describe. It's an eerie place." DeNeil also experienced unusual sounds while in the house, but he believes the combination of the wind and the house's location on the high hill is responsible for the strange noises. He says, "But it's a very mournful sound." Hmm. So, yeah. I don't know.
I guess a popular legend of the house itself was that it was the scene of a slave breeding operation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Yep.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Maybe that's where the penis clamp comes into play.
Yeah.
For unauthorized sexual accounts.
They're supposed to, one of the slaves that was involved in that, supposedly, and there was records of him, his name was Uncle Bob. But then there was also, in the videos that I watched, they said that they're, according to these Uncle Bob records, that he was actually never there. Now, he could have been there, but it was just never recorded in any kind of historical sense. I heard about that, too, and it's that kind of turned your blood cold as well.
Wow.
Sounds awful. But, yeah, there was, I was like, oh, Uncle Bob, that sounds delightful, but it doesn't sound like the whole operation was delightful at all.
Did you hear about the leasing?
A little bit, yeah.
They signed a contract leasing their bodies for $1 for 99 years of slave labor.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and it said that Crenshaw had more indentured servants than anyone else in the whole state.
Jeez.
Lovely.
Right? Yeah, really great. It's great guy.
This shows how plentiful that area is and what all, like, kind of the animals and the history of it goes back, obviously, the Indians. It says, "The Indians, too, cherished this valley where a plentiful supply of food and salt could be secured. For centuries, this valley slept, isolated in its wild natural splendor. It was the salt that brought the buffalo, and it was the buffalo that brought the Indian. History tells that that it was the buffalo, too, that brought the white man. In 1702, Charles Jouqueraud, I have no idea how to say that's French, de Saint...
Oh, Jouqueraud?
Jouqueraud.
No, I'm kidding. I don't know.
You're like, I went to high school with, though.
Yeah, I went to school with Jouqueraud.
He went...
Oh, Johnny Jouqueraud.
Paris, right?
Yeah. No, Speedway.
Speedway.
Paris, what's he talking about?
By the authority of the King of France, established a fort and tannery nearby on the Ohio. He slaughtered 13,000 buffalo simply for their hides and tongues.
Oh.
But such wanton and greedy waste, did not go unpunished. The workers at the tannery were massacred by the Indians, but the wholesale annihilation of the buffalo was so great that the herd never regained its former prominence. At a very early date, the national government reserved from sale several hundred acres of land surrounding the natural salt springs in this valley to assure an ample supply of wood used for boiling the water to make salt, which is what Mr. Crenshaw and his clan did, right? Pipes used for conveying the water from the springs to the large boiling kettles were made of hollowed logs mortised together. The salt made in this valley was sold at far distant points. From every part of the frontier, settlers, traders, and farmers came. Many roads began there, one of which is the old Goshen Road to Edwardsville. A village soon grew up and took the name of... You'll like this one, Todd. This is where equality came from. A village soon grew up and took the name of equality from the middle word in the French Republic motto, Liberty, Equality, Fraternity. One of the earlier government agents appointed to oversee... the lessees of Salt Springs, General Leonard White, credits Volney, the French historian who visited them in 1798 with naming the town.
Interesting.
So there's the equality part of it.
Yeah, I wondered how they got that.
So that,
well, now
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, that river is called Saline.
Right, Saline, I saw that.
So I thought that, yeah. Like the solution.
Yeah, Saline. Exactly. Right. Hmm. What else you guys have? Anything else before we wrap it up?
The old slave house served as a jail where slaves were held against their will. A carriage door located at the back of the house opened directly into the house and was used to usher slaves into the third floor for caging. Slaves could be transferred into the house from a carriage without being seen. This guy that is looking into this, I saw his name earlier, Ron Nelson. He's a Southern Illinois historian. Says the third floor of the house invokes images of a zoo. The third floor is a long hallway, 12 feet wide and 50 feet long. As Sean said earlier, 12 small doors on both sides of the hallway led into tiny rooms where the slaves were kept. A whipping post still remains, along with a ball and chain, a testimony to the pain that was suffered more than a century ago. It's like a nightmarish vision.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The more you hear about
this. If they made a movie about this and they stuck to the stories, like stay true to it, it'd be really hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the slave part, not because of the paranormal or supernatural.
Yeah. Right.
But how this guy was,
you said that,
awful.
Didn't you say earlier that Crenshaw had like a gimp or he had a crutch?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maimed leg.
I'm going to guess they meant 1846. It has 1946, but 1846, of Crenshaw's slaves attacked him with an axe.
Ooh, good. That's it.
Severing his leg and putting an end to his slave selling years.
Nice. Yee. Good.
Wow.
Should have, yeah.
Hmm.
I'll leave it at that. Should have,
yeah.
A terrible, terrible person. But he's probably paying for it now. Yeah, that's a, anything else, Nate and Sean, on the Crenshaw house in Equality, Illinois?
No, I think like a,
man, I'd love to go there.
Like Nate said, the more you see it and the more you, especially that third floor and the dark hallway and the leading into all that. And like you said, the horse drawn carriage that could go right into the house. That's what they were still trying to explore, whether that was for real or not.
Well, I think it backed to the back of the house.
Backed it into it, yeah. But
they didn't go in the house, but they could back the carriage to the house and open that door.
Load it up.
Yeah,
file them in.
Right. It's just despicable no matter how they did it, right?
Yeah. It's pretty probably one of the worst ones I've heard, I think, or one story that we've covered. That's pretty brutal. And we've covered where they've had slaves and servants and all that, or mistreatment of people. But man, this one's brutal. This one's really
before bad. We start, I've got a little bit more on that Uncle Bob, and then this is probably a good way to wrap it up. But
all right.
One of the most frequently told stories deals with Crenshaw's attempt to breed slaves and sell the young babies as soon as they could be weaned from their mother's breasts. For this purpose, it is said he imported a male or buck negro from the South by the name of Bob. So this is that Uncle Bob, whose record is begetting strong and healthy offspring was remarkable. In the slave quarters was his special room into which captive female slaves were forced. Whatever the truth of these stories, there exists today the darkened room in the slave quarters that is still pointed out and referred to as the breeding room or Uncle Bob's room.
Mm.
And again, like I said, it never showed that he was there, but if they were doing something like that, they probably wouldn't want to record that he was there. So that's not really necessarily evidence.
Well, I'm sorry I picked this one.
Thanks a lot, Nate.
Horrific.
But you know what? It's history. It was wrong what they did.
Sometimes history is just as scary as the hauntings.
I know.
Yeah, that's true.
Good night.
People can do awful things to each other. Humans can be terrible. Mm-hmm. They can be wonderful. They can be awesome. They can be amazing. And then they can be absolutely quite the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we fit in there? Amazing.
It depends on the day. It depends on the
I'm like a middle of the road kind of guy.
Yeah, I want to keep
sometimes
it on.
Sometimes I think, man, I'm really a heck of a good guy.
The light
other
side.
Times I'm like, I'm an absolute monster.
That's when you. We're a really big deal. What kind of good big deal? Is it a good big deal or a bad big deal?
Yeah. Well, that was good. That was.
I liked it a lot, but yeah.
Not fun to talk about, but it was interesting. I learned a lot.
Like you guys, I'd like to see it too, and I'm sure it's pretty creepy. And
they say about 10 years away.
10 or less, but that was back in
2022,
I think, is when that was posted.
So we got
2032 or less.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm going to guess coming off of that, I'm going to say middle-aged moment to come off of this dark and terrible history.
It's interesting you say that. This is the first time that I thought, no, we're going to take this down further into the darkness.
Oh.
Truly.
Really. Okay.
You brought a shovel.
But you'll like this, though.
Man. Okay.
You'll enjoy this.
All right.
This is Linkin Park, Burn It Down.
Oh.
You know that song? Oh, it's fantastic. A little Chester Bennington, right? The cycle repeated as explosions broke in the sky. All that I needed was the one thing I couldn't find. And you were there at the turn waiting to let me know. We're building it up to break it back down. We're building it up to burn it down. We can't wait to burn it to the ground. The colors conflicted as the flames climbed into the clouds. I wanted to fix this, but couldn't stop from tearing it down. And you were there at the turn, caught in the burning glow. And I was there at the turn, waiting to let you know. We're building it up to break it back down. We're building it up to burn it down. We can't wait to burn it to the ground. You told me yes. You held me high. And I believed when you told that lie. I played soldier. You played king. It struck me down when I kissed that ring. You lost that right to hold that crown. I built you up, but you let me down. So when you fall, I'll take my turn and fan the flames as your blazes burn. And you were there at the turn, waiting to let me know. We're building it up to break it back down. Building it up to burn it down. We can't wait to burn it to the ground. When you fall, I'll take my turn and fan the flames as your blazes burn. Can't wait to burn it to the ground. When you fall, I'll take my turn and fan the flames as your blazes burn. We can't wait to burn it to the ground. It's very uplifting.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a great song.
Burn it to the ground.
Burn. Well, you know what? It feels like, you know, we're going through a weird time anyway on many, many levels, from the very local level, state levels, country, world, that it just feels like, you know, we really try hard to build things up and we're breaking it back down. Yeah. I know that's how we improve, but it's, you know, those growing pains and these periods where it's like, what the heck are we doing? But this song reflects that very well. But not that long ago in this time period, they were breaking it down then too. And it, I mean, it was a mess of a time, right? Mm-hmm. And we're not that far removed from it. So,
nope.
I mean, I'm glad we're not, you know, enslaving each other. But
well, they learned not to put the kitchen in the house.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And we're not creepy people like this. Like
that
those
guy.
Those crunch shells are.
I've seen that dude before.
Man,
and
it's just weird.
But
he looks like he's from Planet of the Apes.
Yeah,
he does.
He looks dead. I mean, they both look like they were just
Let me see a close-up picture.
Surely that's got to be the way that picture is presented, because it just looks.
Because he's going like this.
It's very. Please look it up, because it looks so creepy. And
I'm waiting for him to say, I'm not an animal, you know.
I'm not a crook,
and I'm not making fun of
it's just weird.
The guy, the alpha man.
I mean, I know they had to hold
this guy.
He's probably falling asleep. Terrible. While, you know, how you had to hold your like the pose for minutes or whatever for a long period of time. He's probably like, please,
something's wrong.
Picture.
Well, something's definitely wrong with his mindset, but like, I think something's
just weird.
I got
maybe he
was,
yeah.
I don't know. Or kicked by a mule.
Had a stroke or I don't know. Something.
Eyes were crossed.
Yeah. Went back.
Something.
I think he fell down a well.
Very went straight again.
But, yeah, right. Anyway. Well, that was good. That was a good malaise. I thought for sure it'd be a moment. Such a dark story. So you tricked me, Sean.
Right. A little bit.
Sean. Let's move on. Shout outs. Nate, any shout outs this week? Okay.
No. Yep. Shout out to Austin Lawrence. I totally enjoyed his presentation at the live show.
Yeah, it was cool.
Did you?
Yep.
I did.
You didn't. You took pictures and video, but you didn't.
No, I did. Good shout out. Anything else? Or anybody else shout outs?
No.
Okay. Sean?
I'm going to say that everybody at the live show, you said Austin, so I'll say Scott and Corey. Lydia for being there as well, and just all our friends, family, and loved ones, and we appreciate it very much.
I will triple that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was my shout out.
Yeah, I didn't want to take all the thunder and say everybody. So
the thunder.
Yeah, so everybody that showed up, and yeah, thanks to Scott and Corey and Greenwood Happy Haunts.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, thanks to Austin for making it. And he did a great job. I learned a lot, too.
I think we've said this before, and we said this at the show, but Pete Peterson for coming. I know he had just gotten off of vacation.
Yeah.
Nicole, his wife, was going to come, but they literally, like, she's
a slacker.
Exactly right, Nicole. No, but he said, you know, they just got back, and he's like, I'm coming. I'll be there. And then he hung out with us, took pictures at the end, helped us clean up. So I really appreciate him.
Thank you.
Very much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So is that all the shout-outs?
It is.
Well, we have, and I'm excited to say this, we have another sponsor. How about that?
Awesome.
It is awesome, and it's just pretty much this week when we worked it out, and it is Greenwood Happy Haunts. They are our new sponsor of Malaysian Creeped Out. So here we go. Here's the ad. Hey, creepies, do you like all things spooky? Do you love the fall season? Do you wish it could be Halloween all year long? Well, at Greenwood Happy Haunts, it is. Greenwood Happy Haunts is a year-round Halloween and fall store located at 248 Market Plaza in Greenwood, Indiana. Custom vintage and unique items adorn the whole store. If you're looking for a unique gift for you or someone else, or just want to visit a place that puts a smile on your face, Greenwood Happy Haunts is for you. Mako listeners can get 10% off a single item when you mention this ad. Come to Greenwood Happy Haunts and get your spook on. Happy hauntings. So how about that?
I love it.
Awesome.
Yeah, Greenwood Happy Haunts. It just seems, is a new sponsor.
It seems right.
Yeah. It is right. Mm-hmm. It's dare I say perfect?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is.
So there you go. Yes, but thank you, Scott and Corey, and Greenwood Happy Haunts for being our new sponsor. Yeah.
Great, great folks. Great place.
Yep.
Go support them.
And they saved my life because I almost passed out when we were doing chairs because it was 117 degrees. I'm not kidding you, man. I didn't say anything because I'm like, eh. Uh-huh. And then I was like, uh-oh, I better sit down. When we finally were done and uh-huh. I got inside, I couldn't cool down. I'm like, I hadn't eaten anything. I had a banana.
And they went to McDonald's, right?
Mm-hmm. Scott did and got mm-hmm. me a chicken nugget meal. And, man, I was like, oh, thank
got
you.
Got you some nuggies.
Nuggies. Yeah. He saved my life. He saved my life.
Saved my life.
Well, we're very connected to a lot of people, and then, you know, Austin and Lydia, but Scott and Corey, too. I mean, it was like, hey, love you guys. You know, it's just like family, you know, and mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty cool for all of them, you know.
Yep. So anyway, there's that. Appreciate that sponsorship. Second announcement, Sean.
I got him here.
Please.
You can follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X, and Rumble. Email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Whether you are a business or individual and you want to be a show sponsor, email or message us on Facebook or Instagram. We sell all kinds of merch, so go get you some. And please check out our Friday Fright videos on all of our socials.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
Like it.
You know, I thought of another shout out, but...
Did you?
I'm going to wait. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll wait for it. I'll do that next week, actually. Yeah. Thank you, Sean.
No problem.
Nate, what do you got for us, sir?
Well, I hope it wasn't too cringy. Shaw wish we could go see it.
Ooh. And it is kind of cringy right now.
It is a little.
From what we read, right?
Yeah, right.
That's pretty good.
Creepy cringy.
That's a wrap.
That's pretty good. Nate brought it for the show. He usually does, though, right? I mean,
usually.
Yeah. Oh, Sean says usually.
And if he doesn't,
I try.
If he
I
doesn't, we edit it.
Yeah, we edit it.
Try it again.
Well, thanks, Nate. And, of course, we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 185 and our discussion on the eerie Crenshaw House of Equality, Illinois. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.